Hi everyone, thanks for coming to the afternoon session. Like he said, my name is Lorianne Garcia. I'm advised by Dr. Mickey Eubanks at Texas A&M University, and I'm here to talk to you about my project concerning the potential benefits of cotton flea hopper-induced defenses in the cotton plant, of course. So there's three topics that you need to be familiar with for me to make sense to you. And the first is about the cotton flea hopper. It is a hemipteran, a myriad plant bug, so it's piercing, sucking. It typically feeds on the apical tissues of the cotton plant and also on the squares. And usually cotton can compensate for about 30% of square loss from this pest, but it can be pretty abundant, especially in the area where I'm working in College Station. Another topic that you need to be familiar with is pretty well studied induced plant defenses. These are defined as allele chemicals produced by plants in response to herbivory, which can deter future herbivory because they are either toxic or hard for the insect to digest. In cotton, some of the studied induced defenses include enzymes like protease inhibitors, trypsin inhibitors, and chitinase. And finally, something that is more an emerging topic in insect ecology and agriculture is what's called plant-mediated interspecific competition. And what this is an indirect interaction between herbivores in which the induction of a defensive allele chemical by one herbivore negatively affects the other. And so what this looks like is if you have one herbivore feeding on your plant, inducing defenses, another herbivore comes by and is negatively affected by the first herbivore because the plant has essentially been primed to defend itself against the subsequent herbivore. And what has kind of intrigued me about this type of interaction is the idea that, well, what if the induced defenses by the first herbivore deters the second so much that it actually benefits the plant's performance. And there's been a few examples in the literature of this type of interaction occurring. One by Lynch and al. In 2006 has showed that the potato leaf hopper can deter the Colorado potato beetle, which is a pretty, very damaging pest compared to the leaf hopper. And you can see in their data that level of previous feeding of the potato leaf hopper, the higher the damage by the leaf hopper, the lower the amount of beetle emerges from these plants. So the leaf hoppers are actually deterring overposition, they're deterring the fecundity of the plants, and then and then they're also decreasing the survivability of these beetles. Another really nice example was just published in 2012 with a myriad plant bug deterring oviposition by the cocoa pod borer on the cocoa trees. And if you look in their first figure on this slide, the proportion of on the x-axis, this is the proportion of myriad damage, and this is the proportion of the pod borer damage. So as the proportion of myriad damage increases, the proportion of pod borer damage decreases. Oops, that'll go back. Okay. And what's really neat about this, I think, is that these researchers found that 50% pod damage by the myriads is actually what would lead to an optimal yield because the plants were protected against the pod borers, which were more damaging. So this leads me this implicates the fact that management can be improved by considering concurrently both the direct negative impacts of herbivore and the indirect positive impacts of the induced defenses by the herbivores. And so my research questions involve whether or not the cotton flea hopper can induce plant mediated interspecific competition with Lepidopteran pests, and then subsequently, can this cotton flea hopper induced defenses actually benefit cotton performance? And so to answer these questions, I did a field study last summer. It's preliminary. In the Burlington County, I did a 2x2 factorial design and randomized complete blocks where I had flea hoppers either present or absent, and then also my Lepidopteran pest I used was the beet armyworm, were present or absent. So this is kind of a schematic of my research design. So I had four treatments overall. I used 10x10 field cages to protect my cotton from kind of natural herbivory levels, and I used transplanted cotton that I transplanted in June, and I grew them to the second week of squaring. And at the second week of squaring, I infested the plants that were assigned to have flea hoppers. With the flea hoppers, I collected adult flea hoppers from the field. I caged them to the terminal of the plants in these cages that I designed. This is what it looked like in the whole plant. And I left these adult flea hoppers on the plants for 48 hours. And I just want to say that all of my plants had these cages on them. Half were empty and half had flea hoppers. So following the flea hopper infestation, I removed the flea hopper cages and the flea hoppers. And the plants that were assigned to have a caterpillar treatment were treated with 10 neonate caterpillars for 7 days. And what I did was I ordered caterpillar eggs from Benzwin Research. I reared them in standard research conditions in a growth chamber in the lab. And then I infested my plants in the field, and I put another mesh over my plant to keep the caterpillars on their plant. And I let them feed on the plant for 7 days. And so what did I find? For the first question about whether or not cotton flea hopper can induce plant-mediated interspecific competition, I did find some evidence for this. So in this graph, I have my number of caterpillars per plant over the days of infestation, and I counted my caterpillars again on 1 day after, 3 days after, and 7 days after. And what you can see is a marginal effect of my flea hoppers infestation. And by the end of my experiment, basically what we had was when there was flea hoppers on the plants to begin with, I only had about one caterpillar per four plants remaining. But when on my control plants, I had at least one caterpillar remaining per plant. So there's a marginal effect here of my flea hoppers reducing the caterpillars' retainment on my plants. In regards to whether or not this leads to a benefit in cotton's performance, I haven't found any evidence for this yet. This graph shows the number of fruits on my plants on my treatment groups. So this double X here is my control. So then these plants here only had caterpillars, these plants here only had flea hoppers, and these were infested with both herbivores. And I counted the total number of fruits because unfortunately my transplanting was too late and grad school gods were not good to me, so I didn't have time to actually get a bowl count or a lint yield. So this is actually just the total number of fruits on my plants at the end of the season. Let me go back. So I didn't find any effect other than a marginal cage effect. So it seems like the way that I blocked my plants affected the way that they produced their fruits. Okay, and just to further this point, in regards to the first position fruits that were retained, there was no difference in any of my treatments in the proportion of first position fruits retained on my plants. Previously, I found that flea hoppers affected the way that the cotton branched, but this summer I did not find that. So this graph shows the number of both fruiting and vegetative branches in all my treatments, and there was no difference among the treatments for these branches. And so in sum, I found some evidence for previous flea hopper herbivory deterring Lepidopteran pests on cotton, but more study is needed to determine the potential benefits of flea hopper-induced defenses to facilitate this interspecific competition on the cotton plants. So in the future, I would like to take this to the greenhouse so I could have some more controlled conditions. I want to repeat the field study. My sample size for this study was only 12, so I'm considering it preliminary. And then I also would like to actually do some chemical ecology, so I want to take plant tissue samples and figure out what defenses the flea hoppers might actually be inducing. And so with that, I want to acknowledge my committee members, the lab, and my undergraduate helpers and funding sources, and I'll take questions.
We've got plenty of time for questions.
Plenty of time for questions. Yes. So there's some standardized protein analysis that you can use in the lab, but then I've also been dabbling in using qPCR to answer these questions, so to look at actually what genes have been induced. So I might do a little bit of both actual protein analysis and then also a genetic analysis. Yeah. So I have, at another part of my project, has hypothesized that the flea hoppers are inducing defenses related to ethylene pathways in the cotton plant. And so some of the induced defenses I'm looking have to do with the ethylene pathway, and that includes stuff like polyphenol oxidase and peroxidase and trypsin inhibitors.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you.